All right, welcome back to Top Horror. Next on the list, we're going to do The Sixth Sense. It is the second most popular horror movie ever made. Grossing, let's see what it grosses as. The movie came out in 1999, and it was obviously a hit. So we can just start with the plot. So what it is, straight up, just do a look on Google. It says, young Cole Sear is haunted by a dark secret. He is visited by ghosts. Cole is frightened by visitations from those with unresolved problems who appear from the shadows. He is too afraid to tell anyone about his anguish except child psychologist Dr. Malcolm Crowe, who is Bruce Willis. As Dr. Crowe tries to uncover the truth about Cole's supernatural abilities, the consequences for client and therapist are a jolt that awakens them both to something unexplainable. So, if you scroll down on IMDb, there are user reviews, and this one was actually written in 1999, so it's kind of like everybody's initial thoughts. It's by Joanna Kelly, and it says that she gave it 9 stars out of 10, so he'll be knocked for 6. I'll just read it. This is an incredibly powerful film, awash with emotion, but never stooping too sentimentally. This is a story of one frightened little boy you will never forget. All your worst childhood nightmares, the noises in the attic, the intruder in your house, that cold breath that makes your hair stand on end, are here, and then some. Bruce Willis gives one of the best performances of his career as a child psychologist trying to get himself back on track after a violent encounter with a former patient, and it would be a crime if Hallie, the little boy, Joel Osment, were overlooked at coming award ceremonies for his powerful performance here. It has been a long time since a child actor displayed such maturity in a role. Cole's innocent little face, hidden behind his absent father's large frame spectacles, betrays a child coming to terms with a terrifying secret in the only way he can. You don't need to go and see this film again to realize why the end is such a surprise, but you will rush out to watch it again purely because it's an almost perfect example of its genre. Laugh, cry, jump a mile out of your seat, sigh with relief, but not too early. We did. So obviously, this kind of shows you that it is probably one of like the best done horror movies of its time, because this was written so far. So, you know, this was written in 1991. That's like 20 years ago. So it kind of shows you. On Google, it says it grossed $26.6 million in its opening weekend and spent 5 weeks at the number one film at U.S. box office. It earned $293 million in the United States and a worldwide gross of $672 million. And then on like the entire box office, it is 35th. So the movie came out, and I'm sure you guys have heard the iconic "I See Dead People," which basically is from this movie when the kid is telling his therapist, "I see dead people." That has made an impact over many social media platforms just from this movie. It has turned into memes. It has turned into people just saying stuff. It's even transformed into other TV shows and other movies. So it shows how impactful this was for the media at its time. It has gone on to impact movies, you know, even into our time, 2019. So I want to transition into the actors. So the little boy who played Haley Joe Osment, the little boy who played Cole, Haley Joe Osment, he went on, you know, to talk about or to be in a lot of other movies just because he was known for that part. So obviously actors who can start in a movie and get success, it really opens up opportunities. So he was in, of course, Forrest Gump, AI, Artificial Intelligence, Pay It Forward, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which is actually the new Netflix show about Ted Bundy, Secondhand Lions, Tusk, Entourage, The Jungle Book 2, I think that one was animated, The Country Bears, Bogus, Yoga Hosers, Home of the Giants, Almost Friends. And I'm just finding a lot of stuff here. actually. He was in a lot of movies. He also went on to some TV shows. So one called Future Man, one called The Jeff Foxworthy Show, Murphy Brown, The Spoils of Babylon, The Lake, The Spoils Before Dying, Thunder Alley. So a lot of this stuff was pretty early on. So that's what he did. And for the guy who played the therapist, his name's Bruce Willis. Let's see. So he was actually in, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of like the Unbreakable series. There's a movie called Split. So that's kind of the popular one, but it starts with Unbreakable. And then there's, he's not in the Split. Oh, he is actually. He goes from Unbreakable to Split to Glass, which is the third installment of that series. He's in Die Hard, Death Wish, Pulp Fiction, Hostage, Surrogates, The Last Boy Scout, Red Man, or Red 2, Last Man Standing, A Good Day to Die Hard, Die Hard with Vengeance, Mercury Rising, so just a lot of, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. He also was a singer, so he had some albums here and there. So he had success over all media platforms. So these actors being able to go on and do bigger, better things is kind of, what they used to do in the past where, you know, they would book actors for a whole bunch of movies to help them, you know, gain stardom, gain rise. But this one movie really helped out the careers for these actors. So I actually want to go on about the mom, Toni Collette. She was in The Sixth Sense, and, you know, she was the mom. She kind of, you know, the movie obviously made a lot of money, but she stopped recording or stopped doing movies for actually a while. But then she came back and she did a movie called Hereditary, which is huge and has gained so much publicity. And then recently she did that. She also did one called Velvet Buzzsaw, and that's from this year. It has Jake Gyllenhaal in it, so it's probably really awesome for her to get to work with Jake Gyllenhaal. And I actually just saw her on a movie on Netflix called Unbelievable, which is just a really good one. So she starred in that one, and I really liked it. So it was really cool to see Toni Collette in that one. So obviously she kind of got her start on The Sixth Sense. You're probably wondering by now, what does The Sixth Sense mean? So basically every human has five senses, and there's kind of controversy about having a sixth sense. Whereas being able to see ghosts, being able, you know, like a psychic, maybe being able to see the future. So that's kind of the thing. It's just a sixth sense could be seeing a ghost. So that's the background info of that. But I want to go into some, I found 15 twisted facts about the sixth sense. So first one, and this one's by Mental Floss, and they do kind of fun stuff. So the Disney executive who bought the script was fired because of it. Apparently, Walt Disney Studios, then president David Vogel, didn't bother to consult with his superiors before paying $2.25 million for the rights to The Sixth Sense and agreed to let Shyamalan direct the already expensive film. M. Night Shyamalan, like the director, he has some really good stuff and he has some really bad stuff. So it's hard to kind of judge with him what you're going to get. But Vogel's boss was livid when he found out about the deal and demanded that Vogel relinquish some of his power. When Vogel refused, he was canned. So, Yikes. Number two, it was one of the three films Bruce Willis starred in as a part of a settlement with Disney. So this says a couple years before The Sixth Sense was released, Willis was slated to star in another Disney film, the ill-fated Broadway Brawler. It did not go well. Willis, who was both producing and starring in the film, fired most of the crew, including the director, less than 3 weeks into production. The turmoil forced Disney to abandon the movie altogether, to the tune of a $17.5 million loss. To make up for it, Willis signed a three-picture contract with the studio in which a portion of his salary would go back to covering their losses on Broadway Brawler. The first of those three was Armageddon. The second was The Sixth Sense, for which he earned $10 million, followed by The Kid. So that's interesting, isn't it? Number three, Michael Cera auditioned to play Cole. Michael Cera is a super famous actor. You know, you've probably seen him everywhere. So Cera, who was 10 years old at the time, remembered getting the tone of the scene all wrong in his audition. Instead of crying like Haley Joel Osment did in the film. So yeah, he apparently played the scene as upbeat. So before Osment got the part, Lame Aiken was offered the role but turned it down. Well, number four, Osment was very prepared by the time he auditioned. Haley's father, or Haley, Eugene Michael Osment, is a theater and a movie actor who made sure his son read the entire screenplay twice. Wow. He told him that it wasn't a horror movie, it was a movie about communication. Once Haley finished the audition and left the room, Shyamalan told his casting director he wasn't even sure if he wanted to make the movie if Osment was in it. Wow, that's awesome. Marisa Tomei was almost Cole's father. Tomei lost out to Toni Collette, who I did talk about. Collette had ambivalent feelings when she found out from her agent that she got the part, as she had her heart set on being cast in Martin Scorsese's upcoming film, Bringing Out the Dead. Donnie Wahlberg lost 43 pounds to pay Vincent Gray. So, I was reading the plot earlier. There's a kid who comes into the therapist's office and shoots him. And so that's like the traumatic event that happens before. Apparently, the former new kid on the block wanted to prove that he was serious about pursuing an acting career. And then number seven, Shyamalan regretted casting himself as Dr. Hill. He did it as a nice little thing to acknowledge his parents, who were both doctors. Unfortunately, the actor Minaj Neeletu Shyamalan wasn't good enough for his director. He thought his acting was so bad that he cut most of his scene. Wow. There was a reason why Osment never got cold. So, I think that he never, like, you know when you see ghosts? And, you know, if they talk about being cold, this says, according to the film's logic, it's only when a ghost got upset that the temperature dropped. So, you know, you've heard of ghost, like the room dropping. Oh, there's a ghost in the room. Basically that. But that's the movie's logic. And then nine, patches of white hair were also important. Osment and Donnie Wahlberg's character, who also saw dead people, both had some white hair on their heads. Shyamalan decided that all spirit spotters would have one similar physical attribute. Huh, interesting. I did not even notice. Osment's father told Bruce Willis to yell at his son to get him to cry. When Haley couldn't manage to cry in a scene where he was supposed to, Eugene suggested to Willis that he yell his lines off camera to get his son to get the waterworks going. It worked. Number 11, and I think I'm only going to go that far. I mean, there's only 15. We'll do it all. So number 11, we'll just do the top. Strange things happened to Toni Collette during filming. Interesting. That's really cool. Misha Barton actually threw up breakfast cereal. So in the movie, there's a part where the little boy sees a girl who throws up. Because she's a ghost, but it actually turns out it's just a breakfast cereal mix that she would hold her friend, she would hold in her mouth and spit it out. She didn't tell her friends she was in the movie, which caused one of them to run out of a screening, horrified that her friend had just died in front of her eyes. That's pretty good. Number 13, a graphic scene was deleted. Apparently, Osment remembered shooting a scene where he looked out of a window and saw an entirely hospital of horribly disfigured and mutilated people. Yikes. I wouldn't like that either. Number 14, the movie was released on Shyamalan's 29th birthday. I mean, that's that. And it's a similar to an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? So apparently there's a show called Are You Afraid of the Dark? And in 1994, the tale of the Dream Girl shares a similar storyline to The Sixth Sense, where a teenager named Johnny doesn't realize that he's dead until the very end of the episode, even though the only living person that talks to him is Sister Erica. So the audience doesn't realize that either. So I don't want to spoil anything about this movie, but there is a bit of that going on. But those are kind of the fun facts I wanted to end with. But thank you guys for listening. Let me know if you have any questions. But thanks for watching this episode. And next week, it looks like we will return with The Exorcist. So, sure, a lot of you have seen it. I just want to warn you guys that It Chapter 2 is on the number 4th, but I already covered the first one in the first episode, so I think I'm just going to do What Lies Beneath. After that is The Blair Witch Project, The Conjuring, The Ring, so we'll just go along that line. All right, thanks for watching, or listening.